Welcome to the Metaphoricist Magazine podcast, your home for beautifully made speculative fiction. The magazine is edited by B. Morris Allen, and I'm your host, Matt Gomez. This month's story, narrated by the author, is The Wedding of Hope Garrison in Chevrolet Dodge Ford by R.W.W. Greene. R.W.W. Greene writes science fiction and fantasy and lives in southern New Hampshire. Find him online at www.rwwgreene.com. That's rwwgreene.com, or on Twitter at rwwgreene. Let's jump in.
The farm looked like a lot of them did in them days, one part green, three parts dust. 20 or 30 head of cattle worked the scrub to the west of the house. Rusted steel slumped on flat, rotting tires, a rickety-looking catfish tank sweated beneath the chicken coop. The farmer pushed the much-mended baseball cap off his forehead. "How much you charge?"
"Depends," Hank said. "You get power?"
"Some."
"I need 110 to 120, steady. I can hook my generator in as backup, only charge you for the fuel."
The farmer took off his cap and wiped his forehead with the back of his arm. "What are we talking in all?"
Hank told him, ignoring the man's wince. "It's not every day your daughter gets married, Mr. Garrison. Be a nice surprise for her. Half now, half after the wedding, plus meals and a bath."
Farmer Garrison studied his feet a while before tugging his cap back on and sticking out his hand to shake. "You need help setting up? My son knows a thing or two about juice." Hank jabbed his thumb back at his motorcycle. "Got everything I need right there."
"Lucas!"
the farmer hollered, cupping his hands around it.
"Lucas!"
A fit young man in patched overalls jogged out from behind the barn.
"Yeah, Pa?"
"Walk up and take a look at the water wheel. Make sure the creek's clear and everything's hooked up right." He nodded at Hank. "Man's gonna play music for your sister's wedding tomorrow." Lucas showed a good set of teeth in his grin.
"What's he play?"
"Vinyl," Hank said, and tugged the cover off the motorcycle sidecar. His DJ gear was arranged inside. "Where should I set up?" The farmer showed him the barn where the reception would be held and helped drag a wooden table into place. "You can plug in there," he pointed to a rusted outlet. "I'll send my daughter in to see you." Hank unpacked his turntable and speakers and plugged them into the farm's power. He lifted the crate of records out of the sidecar, about 100 albums ranging from pristine to warped as hell. He slid the best of the bunch, a copy of Michael Jackson's Thriller, out of his cover and laid the needle on side 2, track 1. "Beat it." Eddie Van Halen's guitar work filled the dusty barn. According to a book Hank owned once, Van Halen's playing was so good the studio caught fire when he laid the riff down. He let the song play. MJ's voice warbled off tempo and key on the second verse. Hank checked the needle in the album for defects. They were perfect. The farmer's power supply was at fault. He ran a line out to the generator in the sidecar. The record played fine after that, the generator barely a whisper inside the barn. Hank switched on the microphone and leaned in close. "Check, check, check," boomed from the speakers. The bride-to-be walked in on the echo.
"Daddy said you're going to play music for my wedding."
"Best show in town," Hank said. "Get everyone up and moving, make it a real party."
"Moving ain't usually a problem with this crowd," she said. "What kind of music you got?"
Her no-collar dress was frayed at the hem, and she had wavy hair that would need washing before the ceremony tomorrow, if she were pregnant and weren't showing.
"Rock and roll, ma'am? Country? Mostly late last century."
Hank handed her the Thriller album cover. The so-called Red-Blue War had left the boundaries of propriety muddy in the messy middle states, and there was a chance she'd pitch a fit about being presented with a black man's music. She put the album cover back on the table without comment.
"What else you got?" she said.
"Can you read?" He unfolded his catalog carefully and put it on the table.
"Of course I can."
She tucked her hair behind her ears and bent to puzzle off the list he'd typed out. She bit her lower lip as she traced out the words. Hank would have bet his fee that she hadn't heard anything but live music her whole life, most of that from drunken farmers and broke-down guitars and cigar-box mandolins.
"Do you want some suggestions?"
She picked up a record.
"Is he a real prince?"
They spent the next 3 hours spinning records and picking out her playlist. It was heavy on the Tom Petty, Johnny Cougar, and Bruce Springsteen sort, but she surprised Hank with some of her choices. "Let's Pretend We're Married," or "Prince's 1999.
His sole Salt and Pepper album, Hot, Cool, and Vicious, was badly warped, but the last couple of tracks on both sides sounded all right. Hank played I'll Take Your Man twice before she scribbled it onto her list. She also showed a fondness for 70s disco and asked him to put La Freak in That's the Way I Like It and Heart of Glass in Where It Felt Right. What do you want for slow songs, he said. You pick. She fanned herself with a catalog and eyed his stack of records. You sure got a lot of music. Hank powered down his gear. It's just about knowing where to look, keeping your eyes open. Bet you've seen a lot of places. Some. Good and bad. The barn was getting warm and his armpits were uncomfortably damp. Half and half, I guess. She sat on the edge of the table. I ain't been anywhere but here. And now she was about to get hitched and would likely never get clear. Here seems nice enough, Hank said. It's tiresome. All the do this and do that. Wash the clothes, tend to the chickens, take care of the kids. Hank allowed that might get tiresome. You get married. She folded her arms. It weren't really my idea. He did the asking, and my stepmother said yes, but she ain't the one who has to sleep with him. Hank straightened the stack of records. Once she left, he could put his mind to picking out some slow songs she and her new in-laws might like. My name's Hope, she said. Hank nodded. I work hard, she said, and I'm stronger than I look. I got my letters and numbers. Bet you could help out your shows. I don't need much help, Hank said. I got it all right. That motorbike of yours is big enough for two. We can pack all this up and be on our way, lickety-split. She cocked her hip. I got money. How much? She told him. Not enough. Sometimes you get a bloom where you're planted, miss. Hope frowned. Her eyes were near green and life hadn't worn her features sharp yet. Her skin was smooth except on her hands. She hadn't tried playing pretty yet, but Hank was mostly immune to farmer's daughters anyway. I'll do a good job picking out the rest of it, ma'am, Hank said. It'll be a pleasure to hear. He didn't watch her leave. She might have been serious about running away, or she might have been hoping to see her beau get tough with the wife-stealing DJ. Neither option worked for him. He picked out a dozen or so slow songs, threw in some more fast numbers for the younger women, and typed up the playlist on his portable Royal. The water pump next to the house ran off an old bicycle, and he had to hunt down the bucket. When he got back to the pump, Lucas met him with a tall glass of lemonade and a plate of food. Wet your whistle, he said. Shouldn't you be getting ready for the rehearsal dinner? Lucas sat on the steps and tucked into his own plate. All I gotta do tomorrow is sit and smile. Don't need much practice for that. The lemonade was cold and sweet. Hank pointed his fork at the pump. You're doing? Makes things a little easier on my stepmother. He stretched, lean muscles pushing at the fabric of his shirt. You should let me show you my workshop. You got any electrical wire to spare? I might. Lucas took their emptied plates back inside and led the way to a squat blue building on the other side of the house. Ever see one of these? Lucas handed him a silver disc from a shelf near the door. It's a CD, Hank said. Used to put music on them. Ever see one work? Hank's jaw dropped, half expecting the younger man to wave him over to a working player, but Lucas just laughed. Me neither. He put the disc back onto the shelf. Look over here, though. He directed Hank to the far corner of the building. Nearly got it working. The thing on the bench was shell-shaped, white on the bottom and translucent orange on the top. A white apple was stenciled on the side. It was attached to a keyboard like the one on Hank's portable typewriter. What is it? Hank said. Watch. Lucas tapped the space bar and a fan came on inside the shell. The glass front lit up and something inside the thing chimed. Wait for it. A little drawing of an hourglass appeared and flipped over again and again and again. Is that all it does? I get it working all the way, you'll see something. Like what? Lucas raised his hands. Name it. Games, pictures, music, way more than you got. I can get the answer to any question worth asking once this thing works. Hank looked at the hourglass. It flipped over again. The screen flickered and went dark. The fan died. Something inside smelled hot. What are you going to do when you fix it? Sell it, maybe, Lucas grimmed. Buy a motorcycle and get rich making people dance at weddings? You want to see what I got for wire? I don't really need it. Hank followed Lucas out of the shed. You really teach yourself all this? Can't spend all my time tending the cows, he yawned. I'm going back up the house, see if they left me any dessert, you? Hank shook his head. Bed. Long day tomorrow. Suit yourself, Lucas crooked a half-grin. Holler, you get lonely. Hank went back to the barn and climbed up to the hayloft to sleep. He didn't come awake until he heard the wedding setup crew stirring in the barn below. He rubbed the sleep out of his eyes and went up to the house to find some breakfast and a bath. The kitchen was full of girls about Hope's age, so he waited until he could flag down someone less likely to want to talk to him. She showed up in a gray dress and a scowl. Who are you supposed to be? She said. Hank offered her his professional bow. Dancing Hank, the wedding DJ. I'm doing the music for this shindig. She gave him the eye. My husband hired you. Mr. Garrison and I shook on it yesterday afternoon. Price included meals and a bath. He dotes on that girl. She made a face like she tasted bad pickles. You wait here and I'll get you breakfast. Ask Lucas to show you the crick afterward. That'll do for you. She ducked into the laughter-filled kitchen and came back out with a plate of beans and bread and a mug of coffee. Eat it outside. Lucas should be coming back this way in a few minutes. Hank took the food onto the porch and watched the sun clamber up the sky. Lucas came round just as he was sopping up the rest of the bean juice. Your mama says to show me the crick, Hank said. Just about to go down there. Let me get my shave kit and I'll show you. They detoured back to the barn so Hank could get his own kit and the suit he wore for working. Lucas led him away from the house and through the cow field to a fast-moving stream. He pointed to a shed built over the water. That's the water wheel. I recoiled the turbine yesterday afternoon so you won't need to tap your generator. He gestured downstream. It gets deep and wide enough to swim there. At the edge of the pool, Lucas tripped out of his clothes. His body was lean and strong with a farmer's tan marking his smooth skin. He smirked. Last one in, the mama boy, and dove in from the shore. The stream was fresh and cold, and Hank flapped and blew until he got used to it. Reckon you're only a year or two older than me, Lucas said. Could be. Hank ran his fingers through his sopping hair to tease out the snarls. But I'm wiser in the ways of the world. Lucas laughed and play-tackled him, knocking him back into the water. Before Hank knew it, they were splashing each other and wrestling warm, slippery skin on skin. When it got to be too much fun, he pushed away and waded to the shore for his razor. Got any soap, he said. Over there in my kit. Lucas was floating on his back. Use all you want. Hank lathered up with good-smelling soap right there in the stream and rinsed off. He washed his hair and shaved carefully. Lucas watched him the whole time. What are you looking at? Hank said. Wanted to see if I could learn something new about shaving and washing. Lucas ran his hand over his chest. But nope, you do it same as me. Hank toweled off with his dirty shirt. You better get some practice in lest you look a mess for your sister's wedding. Think I'd rather float here and watch you. Hank tried not to dress so fast that he looked nervous. His immunity to farm girls didn't extend to their brothers. He straightened his tie and slid on his shiny silver jacket. How do I look? Like the lord of the dance himself. Lucas had come up behind him while he dressed, his voice too close now, his body still cool and wet from the crick. He sniffed the side of Hank's neck. You smell like me. Hank cleared his throat. I'd better get down there and make sure things are set up right. Suit yourself. I'm going back in the water again. Lucas's waist was narrow, his shoulders heavy with work. Where'd you learn how to swim so good? Hank said. The question stopped the dive back into the stream as Hank hoped it would. Hired hand we used to have taught me, Lucas murked. Taught me a lot of things. With a flex of leg and buttocks, he dove cleanly into the water. Hank waited for his head to come up and wave to him. Lucas waved back and stroked away. Hank headed back up the hill. It was a little too perfect. He might make a move and find himself invited to a game of kick the queer. He never won those games. He'd go on his way broke and nursing his wounds, or he'd get run off, still broke, for roughing up a local. Not starting from zero exactly, he'd done that enough to know the difference, but maybe have to put a pencil line through parts of the map until things cooled down. Hank wondered if Lucas knew his little sister wanted to cut and run. The ceremony was set for noon, and Hank wasn't invited, so he went back to the barn to check his rig. He lay his shiny jacket on the table next to his records and spent a few minutes testing the sound again. 6 months before, and 200 miles south, a wire-chewing squirrel had cost him a payday when he dropped the needle on the first song and nothing happened. Hank check-checked the mic and got MJ to tell him to beat it again. He dug a chunk of spruce gum out of his pocket and worked it soft with his teeth.
Sounds all right, a shadow fell on the turntable.
How'd you hear about us anyway? Cleaned up, Farmer Garrison was a couple of shades lighter. He was tugging on his shirt collar like it wanted to strangle him. Store clerk in Franklin, Hank said. She told me about another wedding to check out next week, about 50 miles that way, he pointed north. June and September are my best months. You make a living at that? The farmer's gesture took in Hank's rig. Showing up at parties and playing old songs? I won't get rich, but yes, sir. I pick up extra work here and there, too. It suits me. I like to stay on the move. Garrison nodded slowly. Likely he'd never been much of a traveler. He'd probably spent his whole life in the same 20 square miles, eyes fixed on a mule's ass. What's she got you playing? Hank fetched the list from his jacket pocket and offered it. The farmer waved the paper off. Tell me. Hank kept an eye on Garrison as he read the list, waiting for the farmer to holler or color up when he got to some of Hope's more scandalous picks. Farmers like big butts, but they didn't always cotton to songs about them.
I remember some of those, Garrison said. His eyes took on a faraway look and he hummed a piece of something. My mama used to sing that to my sister.
Van Morrison's Brown-Eyed Girl. I can sneak it in for you. Make it a farmer-daughter dance.
The farmer backed away from the table like it had something catching.
It's Hope's party. Let her pick the music.
Besides, he smiled, her eyes a-green, like her mama's were.
Let me know if you change your mind.
He reached to adjust the cap he wasn't wearing.
What's it like out there now?
Better on the edges than it is here in the middle, or so I've heard. I've never been all the way west.
Farmer Garrison rubbed his leathery face.
My daddy filed for the blue. Moved the family out here after. Said it was easier to try to grow your own food than wait in lines.
He looked at Hank Sharp. They still lines?
Some places.
None of the cities came all the way back. A lot of the ones that didn't have a port emptied out.
Others are okay. There's work if you want it. Food.
Government has airplanes to move things around now. Trains.
A lot of people died, Garrison whistled through his teeth.
A lot of people.
Hank didn't bother commenting. When the missiles started flying, both sides gave up claim to the word humane, maybe even to human. Then the imps brought everyone back to the early 1900s and left them there.
I want it better for my kids, you know?
Garrison reached for his cap again.
Daddy always said he thought we'd get it back together quicker. TV, food, electricity for everybody like it grew on trees, he grimaced.
You're probably too young to remember any of that.
Stories, mostly. Books and magazines.
Didn't get much of it myself.
I was 5 or 6 when the grid went down and we came out here.
He drew himself up.
Look at me jawing. Got me a daughter to give away. You know she wanted to be a singer? Talked about it all the time back when she was a kid. Not much hope of that now.
The half-dozen women still in the barn followed Garrison out the door.
Don't touch anything, one scolded. They decorated with check tablecloths and streamers and laid the food out on a long table.
Hank put on his shiny jacket and got himself organized. He queued up the first song and hoped to hear his wife, too.
What's his name?
Hank looked around for a clue to his identity. It would be mighty hard to call a wedding when he wasn't clued into what to call one half of the happy couple. He finally spotted his name burned into a leather scrapbook on the gift table. Chevrolet Dodge Ford and Hope Emily Garrison, June 7th, 2023. Hope and Chevy, together forever. A breeze made the tablecloth flutter. The sky darkened. Hank worked another piece of spruce gum soft and popped it into his mouth. It never hurt to have fresh breath.
About 30 minutes later, the ring bearer and the flower girl, the youngest Garrison kids, tore in like the devil was behind him.
Rain's coming, the girl said. The little boy stuck his finger in the cake.
Don't!
The girl fetched the boy a cloud and he darted under the table with his finger full of white frosting. The rest of the guests entered at a statelier pace and Hank powered up the turntable. The B-52's love shack tumbled out of the speakers. It put the first few folks back on their heels, but the younger people picked up the rhythm and sort of bopped to their seats. Hank didn't know the groom from Adam, so he kept an eye out for the bride. She entered, unsmiling, with a dark-haired man whose hairy wrists showed past the cuffs of his jacket. Behind them were Farmer Garrison, his wife, and 2 beanstalk that had to be the groom's parents. Hank lowered the music volume and picked up the microphone.
"Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "may I introduce Mr. and Mrs. Chevrolet Ford?"
The wedding guests stamped and hooted, and Hank got to work. His hands hummingbirded from record stack to tone arm again and again, unsleeved vinyl piled up on both sides of him. The guests tucked into the food and booze. Once in a while, Hank came out and shared some of the dance move he learned from a book his mama had, the funky chicken and the bump. The ladies ate it up and got some of the men to take a nibble, too.
Most of the boys were in dancing, so Hank got a share of the bounces, flaunts, and coy come-hither looks from the single girls on the floor. He got some play from the married gals, too.
Hope leaned low over the table a half dozen times, nearly falling out of her dress to ask them to play something even faster and wilder.
Her face was flushed from the exercise and the pint jar she was waving around.
She pushed it into Hank's face.
"Drink up," she said. "Can't both of us be sad at my wedding?"
He told her he was the furthest thing from sad, but she insisted. The shine was bright and clear, almost peppery. He took a long drink and handed it back. Sure, he'd be flushed and foolish, too, if he had much more. Hope wobbled up on her tiptoes to kiss him on the cheek. She missed, with a little help from her new husband's outstretched hand, and landed on her knees on the floor. Her arm flailed into the turntable. The record needle scraped across 3 tracks of Tom Petty's American Girl. Big, strong Chevrolet Ford stood over his upturned wife, his right hand raised like he was about to slap a mosquito off her cheek.
"I knew you wouldn't quit," he said. "Mama told me you'd never."
"Nice way to start the honeymoon," Hank said. He could see Chevy Ford was the kind of peckerwood that wouldn't let marriage get in the way of a beating. Hank's stepfather had been one like that. Chevy shook his fist at him. "You shut up, or I'll give you..." Farmer Garrison hustled over to grab Chevy's arm. "She didn't mean anything, Chev. She's just happy, is all." Chevy pulled away, nearly toppling his father-in-law to the dance floor. "She's nothing but trash," he glared at Hope. "All you Garrisons are. Blue State trash." Farmer Garrison's big right hand shut Chevy up quick. Chevy fell against the table and knocked it over. The turntable bust to pieces on the ground and Hank's records scattered. The edge of the table had caught Hank in the chest and knocked the wind out of him. He saw Chevy's paw come up behind Hope's daddy and rabbit punch him in the neck. Farmer Garrison dropped and his wife flew at the elder four like a wildcat. The dance floor changed tempo into a brawl. Hank got up and felt his ribs to see if anything was broke. He couldn't breathe so well, but he didn't need air to see the spit and boots flying around the barn. Hank stuffed his records into the milk carton and prodded Hope with his foot. "Let's go," he said, wheezing. "Get your money." They made it all of 15 miles down the road before a sharp rock let the air out of Hank's front tire and brought them to a halt. The spare was flat, too. Hope ran the jack while Hank worked the tire off the rim. One patch didn't do anything to keep the air in, so he tried two. He was up to 3 patches when the ugliest thing he'd ever seen pulled up behind him. It looked like it might have started life as a pickup truck, but in his death throes, it had bettered a tractor and a tar-papered shack. "Looks like your horse came up lame." Lucas stepped out of the hole where the driver's door should have been. "Might be time to shoot it." "You here for your sister?" He shook his head. "Chevy and his pa are looking for her, though. Daddy bought us some time by sending them south. He sent me this way." "Don't suppose you got a new tire at the back of that thing?" Hank mopped his forehead. "Not that will fit, but I've got a couple of old turntables we might be able to get working. I hear the job's easier with two. Hope could teach dancing." "What about your family?" Hank said. "Four more where we came from. Stepmother's brood. They'll do all right." "Maybe you and me will too," Hank said. Lucas smiled. "You're getting the right picture now." The wedding up north wasn't for another week. Time enough to get into one of the abandoned cities and look around for a record shop. "Help me get my bike on that trailer of yours," Hank said. "We'll go see if we can find something new to play."
That was The Wedding of Hope Garrison and Chevrolet Dodge Ford by R.W.W. Green. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you listen to us on. Or better yet, share the magazine and podcast with a friend. If you'd like to listen to more speculative fiction, visit us online at magazine.metaphoricist.com, on Blue Sky at metaphoricist.bsky.social, or on Mastodon at metaphoricist@writing.exchange.